can't control what happens. But only thing I can control, young man, is how I respond to what happens. Will this tragedy in turn make my life that I still have to live tragic? Or will I have fond memories? Will I learn from it? Will I get stories from it that will help someone else that goes through this same tragedy?
Hey everybody, welcome to the Small Business Storytellers. This podcast is for you if you see business as a tool for making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers. I'll be your host, and one of my biggest passions is learning from businesses who are growing without losing their authenticity. On season two, we're learning about how to thrive in times of crisis as we learn from businesses who have been impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. Let's dive in. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. If this is your first time listening, my name is Seth Silvers, your host. And this is a special episode because I'm sitting with somebody who I appreciate dearly and have so much respect for, and that's Ralph Graves Jr. Ralph does a lot of things, and so I'll let him tell you all the different things he has that he's involved with and stuff. But Ralph and I got to know each other a couple years ago. And I got to actually help him in the process of writing his book and getting his story onto paper. And man, his story is powerful. And I learned so much. That's one of the side effects of my job is when I get to help people with their story, man, I get to learn so much. And I'm often impacted by other people's stories. So Ralph, thank you so much for being on the show.
Man, thank you for having me. Greetings to all who are watching, listening, wherever you are. I'm just happy to be. I'm honored that you'd even call me, man, and allow me to be on the program.
Absolutely. So, Ralph, for those that don't know you, tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is that you have your hands involved in right now.
Oh, man. Big picture, I'm just a small fish in this big old ocean, right? My name is Ralph Graves. I'm from South Jersey. I pastor Cornerstone Community Church in Millville, New Jersey. I'm a retired police officer. I worked 20 years in Camden, New Jersey. Exciting of itself. Been married 29 years, three children, three grandchildren. I'm a motivational speaker. I'm an author. Seth really helped me get through that. Radio show host and a TV show host. But this is has been the highlight of my career is being on Seth's show right now.
Oh man, I've never heard that statement before. So there's a first time for everything. So Ralph, you were not just a police officer; you're a police officer in Camden. For those that don't know, like what that entails, give us a little context for kind of that season of your life and really just kind of like your story of how you got to get to where you are now.
Well, you know, Camden, New Jersey has always been, when I was there, it was called the murder capital of the country. I needed a job. I didn't grow up wanting to be a police officer. I had a child out of wedlock. She's now my wife, but I had a child and she had to eat. And so, I put my name on the application to become a police officer about 21, 22 years old. And by some hand of God, I made it through the entire process, boot camp, all that stuff was real easy for me. And, you know, so I was able to get a check and able to do it that way. And, wasn't easy starting out. It wasn't easy. I had common sense and wisdom. I'm a praying father, praying mother. I'm a son of a pastor. You know, he pastored over 40 some odd years. So they were praying over me and I knew the Lord and all that great stuff. And I actually rose up in the ranks pretty fast. And, so it was an exciting time. And I did 20 years, I could have did 25, but, I started doing the math and I started saying, well, you know, pension wise, I'm only hanging on for about $300 more a month. No, I'm out of here. And, I was able to leave, but during my time there, father of three, kids through high school, my wife through nursing school. She's a nurse now for the last 16, 17 years. She's working on her master's. She's a labor and delivery nurse right now. So God really blessed us in doing that. But while I was there, I planted Cornerstone Community Church about 15 years into it. I planted Cornerstone, so I knew that when I retired, I was going to pastor the church full time. And then from that, from reading all that I've read and going to school, I said, hey, you know what? I need to write a book. And from that, we wrote Unstoppable. It was a great time writing that, and which is, we talked about seven universal laws that kind of will change the way you achieve and pursue success, just universal laws that God put in place. So I've had an adventurous life, had a very flavorful life. I've seen the best of man. I've seen the worst of man. I've seen, you know, I feel like Paul in the Bible. I've learned how to live bountifully, and I've learned how to be without. And so, you know, thank God for that. You know, that's kind of been, yeah, that's kind of short version of a long journey.
These seven principles that are in Unstoppable, you learned these principles in a unique place. Like, these aren't principles that you found like in some other leadership book. Like, these are principles like you learned them on the street. So tell us a little bit about like where you really learned some of these principles that now you're teaching to others through your public speaking and author business.
Yeah. Yeah, I would show up at different jobs, different cases, or whatever, different calls, and I noticed the depravity of man, and it crosses racial lines and financial. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. You know, I just looked at, you know, how some people did really, really well, and some people did really, really poorly, and then I started lining up some of the. I started kind of matching up the people that did things well, and I found out that they kind of did things a certain way, that they kind of learned how to live this life according to universal laws that God had put in place. And when I say universal laws, people get like, what is he talking about? Well, gravity is a universal law. If you respect it and live within it, you're going to be successful. So I started looking at the people who understood the law of control. Like, listen, I can't control what happens to me, but I can't control how I respond to it. I started looking at the people who really exercised the law of forgiveness, the law of reciprocity, the law of habit and practice. And I'm like, these are the most successful among us. And it didn't matter whether their educational level, didn't matter the color of their skin. It didn't even matter whether they believed, whether they're believers or not. They just understood how life can be lived successfully when you live it within the confines and respect the laws that are all around us each and every day. And so I watched it firsthand. I mean, I was there, so I didn't have to really read it in books. I was there.
Is there a story or two that, you know, from your police officer days that really made a mark on you that you would mind sharing?
There's so many. I'll share it, and it really helped me understand the law of control. You know, unfortunately, we would go to fatals and different accidents or people would be really busted up. And I saw the way that the best amongst us handle it versus some of those who really aren't the best among us, or maybe it's just not handle it. I watched them months later. For instance, there's a fatal car accident on one of the bad routes in the county that I worked. And it was terrible. It was terrible. And someone died. And the families were there. And I watched the parents have a composure that I wouldn't have had as a parent. I mean, I would have been losing my mind. And I, as months went on, I got a chance to talk to the parents. And the father said this to me: I can't control what happens. But only thing I can control, young man, is how I respond to what happens. Will this tragedy in turn make my life that I still have to live tragic? Or will I have fond memories? Will I learn from it? Will I get stories from it that will help someone else that goes through this same tragedy? And that blew my mind that I can't control what happened, but I can control my response to it. So that really touched me, because that was just a tragic situation. I'm like, this guy really understood this law. Right back, he showed it to me. He showed it to me, you know, and I was really blessed by it. He kept on living. He still had a life to live, and him and his wife kept on living. And their story has touched thousands, and they're doing quite well because they understood the law of control.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. It really is. I remember from a young age, I don't even remember. I don't necessarily remember like specific moments that my dad told me this, but I remember learning this from my dad of like, don't get stressed by what you can't control. And right. just looking at like the majority of the reasons that people are stressed out, are afraid, that they're panicking, are things that are out of their control and stuff. And there's absolutely times when things that are within my control are hard and they're stressful and they cause pain. And those are times where we should act and stuff. Like those are important times when you realize like there's something going off in my life and I can control it. And that should lead us to action. But yeah, it's an interesting place to be in where we realize, man, most of the things that are affecting me, I can't control.
Right. Right. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, I often say God will allow adversity in our lives. He does. You keep on living, you're going to have adversity. But the thing you can control is how you meet the adversity. What are you going to learn in it? How do you handle it? How are you going to rise from it? I'm a believer. I'm a born again Christian, and I believe that all things, I believe the word of God more than I believe anything else. I don't even believe what I see more than what I believe the word of God. The word of God says all things work together for good to them who are called, to them that love God. And so I know that no matter what is happening in the world today, somehow, some way, it's working for my good, in my favor, and in order for me to bless somebody else. So I just stand on that, man. So I really know that I'm responsible for how I respond to the things that happen in my life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I appreciate you saying that. And, you know, a lot of our listeners are driven by purpose or driven by, you know, some kind of cause or some kind of faith and stuff. And so I know, you know, whether our listeners are believers in the Christian faith or not,
right,
like these
right.
principles are things, the principles you talk about in Unstoppable, like they're principles that apply.
No matter who you are, it's, I tell people, listen, let's go back to gravity. If a believer or a non-believer stand on top of of a tall building and jump off, the believer's not going to grow wings. We all have to submit to that law of gravity, you know, and so how we navigate through it depends on our success in our lives today.
Right. So this is a unique conversation because I haven't had a pastor on the Small Business Storytellers yet.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are probably like, what's a pastor doing on Small Business Storytellers? You're making history. There you go. And
I'm
we're giving
history.
You the best
history,
moment of your career, like you said. No.
Yeah.
But can we talk about the business side of a church a little bit?
Sure, we sure can.
A lot of people think like, you know, in ministry and in church, like, oh, you know, you can't talk about business. You can't make it a business.
Oh, yeah, you better talk about it.
Talk to me a little bit about the business side of a church.
Well, you know, it's like any other business. It's Monday through Friday. I mean, to do ministry, you have to keep the lights on. To do ministry, you have to be up on the latest technology. I tell people that you know, it is a business side to it. The poor can't bless the poor. You know, it's hard for the brokenhearted to bless the brokenhearted. Whereas some people just see church as a place I worship. Some people come every Sunday, some come occasionally. But like every other business, it does take money to run. It does take money to run, you know, and unfortunately people think, oh man, the pastor, he's getting all that money. No, listen, in my case, I don't even take a salary. I'm pensioned. I'm an ex-police officer. So that's just me. But I have some wonderful brothers and sisters in the ministry, man, that this is truly a calling. I remember when I was first called to plant Cornerstone Community Church, some very near and dear people to me who had pastored a long time, they said, well, you either called or you're crazy. You either called or you're crazy, because it's one of the most trying things you ever try to do. So, and we depend a lot on volunteers, but there is a business side. There is a business side. I mean, you still have to, you can talk about separation of church and state all you want to, but you know, that sounds good until the state comes knocking on the door and want to make sure all your paperwork is right and make sure that everything is above board. So you have to have a team, you have to have accountants, you have to have people in the office. If I'm going to pastor correctly, there is pastoring spiritually, but then there is the tactical part of ministry, which is actually running the business. Who do we support? How do we go out here? You know, there's things to, we want to bless kids. We want to bless families. It takes some strategists and some tacticians to get that done. So yeah, there's a big business side of it. The lights, the electric company doesn't care that we're a church. We don't pay, the lights are getting off. You know, they're getting cut off.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. And it comes, I think it comes back to stewardship.
Yes.
You know, you have to steward, like we usually think about stewardship just with finances and stuff. But I mean, like there's a lot of elements, organizational elements of stewardship that you have to
balance. Yeah, stewardship. Yeah. God gave me this building to steward properly. I mean, if it needs to be painted, if we have roof leaks, we have a whole lot, anything a building would have. We have those problems. I have to pay for exterminators. I mean, everything that we have going on. And then it's the part of me being an honorable pastor and stewarding and shepherding the people that he allows to come to Cornerstone Community Church. I don't want to ever break a heart. I don't want to ever lead anyone astray. I don't want to ever be a stumbling block. And I take pride in that. I take pride in that. And so it's a heavy place to be sometimes. It's really a heavy place to be.
So since the church was the church for thousands of years, the church has revolved around meeting together.
Yeah.
Has been a central piece of the church. I mean, church is much more than a Sunday meeting. But you know, there's scriptures that says don't stop meeting together.
Don't forsake the gathering of yourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. So 3 weeks ago, this changes. A little earlier for you as you're in New Jersey and kind of a hotbed for the coronavirus pandemic. But how is this impacting you guys when, you know, the government initially says don't meet with gatherings of more than 10 people, when externally such a big piece of what a church is gathering with more than 10 people.
A lot of laws came down. I had to teach my people how to really read it and really understand it. We can get into the whole politics of it. Tony Spell down in Louisiana. He still had church last week. We had 1,000 people show up. You know, he was quoting the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and they couldn't touch him. And so, you know, we haven't closed our doors. We've done it strategically, just out of fear people aren't coming. So that's keeping numbers really low. But the doors have to be open. I can't live with, on a Sunday, the door being closed. And somebody might be fighting depression. Somebody might be trying to take their lives, or the drunk next door, and he comes to Cornerstone Community Church and he shakes that door and he came to meet Christ and that door is locked. Man, I can't live with that, man. That door's got to be open. You know, I've always said that I'm not about the masses. I'm about the one, you know? And so our doors have never been shut. I won't shut them. Our people, if you know, they're welcome to come and go as they please, they understand the pandemic thing. But again, how it's changed. 10 years ago, we got really out front of, you know, I brought in, once again, the business side of the church. You got to have some young people that understand technology. 10 years ago, we developed a very interactive web page. We developed an online campus. We've been doing videos. We've been touching people through all level of social media, driving them back to the churches web pages. So now this is going to be the new normal. You know, we're coming up. I'm 52. The generation after us, you know, my generation and older, we went to church. That was the normal. What we're learning now is that Americans can do anything they want from home. And so churches have to get out front of it. We can still assemble together virtually. Yes, the doors are open here, but all the while we're on live stream. All the while, during the week, you can check in and see interactive Bible studies. You can join the church. You can give. You can be a part of what's going on. So you really, again, here comes the business side of it. It's more than just preaching and teaching. Jesus said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That means I have to go. So that means I have to reach out and touch the community virtually, the global community. And we've been doing that. And now we just had to ramp it up. I mean, I must have shot 30 videos this week.
Yeah. So it sounds like you guys, not that you've been preparing for this, but because you've been focused on innovating, it's easier for your community to stay more engaged in this season where people aren't as inclined to actually come to church on Sunday.
Right. And it doesn't mean that this is a hard pill to swallow, especially for us old cats. It doesn't mean that they love God any less just because they didn't leave their house. It doesn't mean that. Thank God that we have a gracious God. God is so much more gracious than we are. And if you're not careful, we'll sit around and start judging people. They don't ever come to church. Well, listen, let's get into their homes. And I actually teach people how to worship from home.
I love that.
You know, I teach it. I say, actually get up and get dressed. Actually put it on the big screen of your house. Mm-hmm. Actually lean in. Actually sing the praise and worship songs. Now whether you might be fearful or you just can't get the church or you're just not going out, it's just not your thing, you can actually worship there, but we have to do our due diligence to get there. So it is changing.
Yeah.
And I feel sorry for my brothers and sisters who are pastoring and they didn't do that. You know, a lot of them depend on, and I don't know if you heard this, this is fresh off the presses. A lot of them depend on that Facebook Live. I don't do a Facebook Live. Facebook has the right to take down your material whenever they want to. So if I'm preaching a really convicting message and the Bible doesn't make us feel comfortable all the time. Sometimes people will call it hate speech. If they report me and say I'm preaching hate speech toward a group, they take it down. They censor and monitor what you put up. And so I'm not a fan of the Facebook Live. A preacher was complaining about that the other day. I'm a fan of letting Facebook know, go to our website and you can worship with us from there. So it's a lot.
Yeah. So a lot of churches aren't as prepared as you've been. A lot of churches, especially smaller churches, probably more rural communities, like they rely on, they rely on passing the plate every single week and stuff. So like what are some of the challenges that churches around the country are facing with this, you know, prime minimum of an 8-week kind of like shutdown in some ways? How is this impacting them?
I'm going to tell your audience something very candidly. In 1 week, right? In 1 week, and I'm not into telling people the church's finances, but in 1 week, we had a $8,000 decline in giving in 1 week. And you're right. And we're not a big church. We're probably a medium-sized church, right? Smaller churches are not. They're really, really going to struggle. They have rent to pay.
Yeah.
Especially if they don't own the building.
And that's coming from a church that has, like, it sounds like you've done for years, you've been getting your congregation to be more technologically adept, and you still saw that decline.
Yes. Still saw. And I have givers.
Yeah.
I have givers here. And we give through Push Pay and all that kind of stuff. We have a church app, the whole nine, and we made those things available. And I think that, it's affordable to do. A lot of our churches they don't think they can have this technology. You can have it. It's affordable to do. When people do come to church, no one carries cash. So you better have a square or a machine they can swipe their card on. Most of the finances for our church come in through our app, through our website, through PushPay. You have to know who you're pastoring. You have to understand the times that you live in. But the impact, you know, I'm praying for these brothers and sisters because an 8-week shutdown, it's going to be tough really to do ministry. I mean, it's going to be tough. I'm praying that they don't get put out. I'm praying that they can still make their mortgage payments. I'm praying that their lights don't get cut off. I'm praying that some folks learn to give in alternative ways. But yeah, it's really going to impact them a lot. It's going to impact them.
And you were pastoring during the last economic recession.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was that like to be pastoring? You know, be lead. Well, and I'll change the language. Be leading an organization.
Yeah.
that relied on people giving in a recession where people's ability to give was drastically minimized?
Well, I remember preaching a series. I believe universal law of reciprocity. We talk about it, and it's hard until you really grow and trust God. How we got through that? I was really preaching series on that when I give out of my lack, when I give to God out of my lack, He in turn multiplies and blesses what I do have. And now it takes a lot for a person to wrap their mind around. Seasoned saints get it because they've been trusting God a long time. They understand that tithing, and matter of fact, the less I have, I'm going to ramp it up more, and God's just continue to bless me. So people understood that. And so I really taught series on that and preached through that. And the makeup of your church has a lot to do with it too. A lot of folks seek out the millennials and the family members, and they forget some of these seniors who've been trusting the Lord a long time, who lived through recessions and depressions and all that kind of stuff. They're like, listen, nothing's going to stop me from worshiping. Nothing's going to stop me from coming to church. To where our millennials, and they're great people, but just the fact of our youth and their youth, they haven't lived long enough to trust God long enough. Now, they do great and wonderful things, but if that's all your ministry is full with, you're going to suffer when time gets hard, because some folks, the older folks know how to make it through tough times. That's why they're older folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
They're older because they know how to live through tough times.
Right. So what can, I appreciate you being on this episode, and for our listeners, this is a different episode. Like, we're talking about church, we're talking about tithing, we're talking about all these different things and how this is affecting a sector of our communities that maybe some people are going to church, maybe some people hate church, but what can the at-large community, what can the business community learn from the church and how the church is responding to this pandemic in this season?
I think we learn from each other. I think that whether it's a church, whether it's a small business community, whatever the case may be, we have to learn that times are forever changing. We will go through this again. We will go through some sort of pandemic, something that changes the way we do things. We're going to go through this again. And so what we have to learn out of this is kind of looking ahead down the road. I feel for here in New Jersey, I guess it's out where you are too. Your diner, your restaurant had to close unless it had takeout. Mm-hmm. Takeout menus only. And I know diner owners, being a 20-year veteran police officer, you know all the diners. Mm-hmm. We know diner owners. And I remember asking them, do you have takeout? I don't need no takeout. I want this to be a sit-down place. Well, guess who got shut down? Guess who? Yep. Who is affected in a negative way the most? Those who did not change with the times. Those who did not, weren't able to forecast that, hey, I need takeout. Just like the churches need to forecast, hey, I need to set up some sort of virtual space where I can meet people virtually. So what we need to learn is that times are ever changing. We're never going backwards. So for the person that I used to, people will complain about, the kids are always on their phones. Well, that's never going to stop. So we need to go where they are. So with the church, with your businesses, go where the people are. Listen, I'm very basic when it comes to social media, right? I'm Facebook. You can find Ralph Graves anywhere. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, multiple platforms. There's this new platform out there. I can't stand to use it, but everybody's on it. That's stinking TikTok. So guess who just showed up on TikTok? Me. Because the people that I'm trying to influence, the people I'm trying to tell stories to, the people that I want to buy Unstoppable, the next group of consumers, that's where they are. Mm-hmm. And so I think that with the church, I think with small businesses, I think, and with, I thank God for platforms like this. You can't be a secret.
Right.
So you just have to get ahead of it. We're going to go through another pandemic. We're going to go through something else. And out of sight is out of mind. So you never want to be outside.
Yeah. So what I hear you saying, Ralph, is whether you're a business owner, whether you're a base level employee, that just started a job out of college, whether you're a church. Yeah. You got to change with the times.
You got to change with the times, man. You have to. And you can't use those words. We never did it that way before. Times have changed.
And it seems like this particular crisis is exposing a lot of that. Like, it's exposing a lot of the small businesses, a lot of the nonprofits that haven't worked to build a community that they can interact with when they can't interact face to face.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also exposes that we're not as tough as we think we are. We're not as tough as we think we are. We say, you know, what we really believe, but going through something like this, it kind of shows you what you really believe and where you're really ahead of it. And we have to create spaces to where we're interactive and where we can constantly reach each other.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Yeah. What's the main thing that you're telling your congregation through this time where, you know, probably a lot of them are, you know, maybe they're panicking, maybe they're, you know, some are probably confident, some are probably afraid. What's the main thing that you're encouraging and telling your community right now?
Continue to pray for one another and be tolerant of another's beliefs. Be tolerant of another's level of how they view this thing. And now, you know me a little while, you know, it hasn't stopped me one iota, you know. It's just not going to bother me at all. But there are others, man, I mean, you know, church was a ghost town, you know. So, but I had to really understand that we are not all at the same place in our walk, whether with Christ or whether with, and it's okay to have some concerns. I tell people, don't be fearful, but your concerns are valid. And so pray for one another. You know, we talk about social distancing. Don't allow yourself to become emotionally distant from one another. You know, the first thing I did today, man, I got on the phone. I called 10 people. I called them, I shot them a text. Hey, pastor's thinking about you, because what happens is, and if you are a church member and you didn't show up, your pastor's not mad at you. A lot of people think, oh, pastor's going to be, he's going to be ticked off because I didn't show up. And he would, no. I understand that you are going through something that you've never gone through before. And, right. and once it works all out, I'm still going to be here for you.
Good. Those are good words that I think anybody can apply to their situation. And it's more important than ever to reach out to people. And I actually think, like, on a business side, like, it's been for the last week or two, when I've been, you know, chatting with people, whatever, it's been like, hey, let's jump on a 30-minute Zoom call or whatever. Yeah. Like, I've actually been interacting with people more in some ways through this.
Yeah,
and it's really interesting. And so I think that some of the things that stick longer, like, I'm going to be more likely to FaceTime people instead of call them, because there's been some people that I've called and I've been like, hey, let's FaceTime instead of call because we're not seeing each other as much and stuff. So I think after this all, you know, kind of calms down and stuff, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this changes the way that we interact with people.
I think that it'll be a year before it all shakes all out. I don't care what bands are lifted and whatnot, the fear and everything and how it's already been placed on our minds. So it'll be a year before we all get back to, you know, let's go have coffee. It'll be a minute.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah.
Well, Ralph, as we close, how can people get in touch with you? And give a good, like, who should buy your book?
Everybody should buy my book. Everybody who's anybody that wants to be, anybody who really wants to understand. I just dealt with 7 universal laws. There's thousands of them. I only dealt with 7. It's a very quick read. It's about 90 pages, maybe 86, 90 pages, little workbook inside to really challenge you where you are. I'm just put it out there because my goal is to sell 1 million copies, you know? So I think everybody should buy it. It's available everywhere. BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com. My website is ralph@ralphgravesjr.com. You can buy it there. Audiobook. Look for it on Spotify and iTunes, everything else. We just did the audiobook, Seth. Just did it. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you have a podcast as well, right?
It's a radio show, but you can find it on the podcast. Okay. www.dbam.com. Just kind of And when you search this, search for the Ralph Graves Jr. Show. We have a good time, and it comes on Wednesday mornings at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. But it's on www.dbam.com, the Ralph Graves Jr. Show. Great. We're having a good time, man. We're having a good time putting together a mastermind. But I'll be talking to you about that.
Awesome.
And how some of your listeners can be involved with the mastermind that my team is putting together.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely encourage our listeners. Follow Ralph Graves, keep in touch with what he's doing, get his book. Yeah. I know that book inside
yes,
and out.
Yes, you do.
And it'll change you. So thanks so much for jumping on and just being willing to share a little bit of a different perspective with our listeners than we usually get. I think it's really important that we hear how things like this are impacting different people.
And I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for the show. I just want to encourage you, man. I think it's phenomenal what you're doing. You're blessing more people than you realize, man. And if you're listening to this show, keep listening to this show. Hang in there. Apply some of the principles that my good brother here talks about. And I just want to thank you for me. You're the hero, brother. You're the hero.
Thank you for your kind words. And I appreciate your time most of all today, Ralph. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do you want to grow an online brand that is profitable and authentic? Do you know that you have a ton of great ideas for content that you want to create, but you need accountability and strategy? Do you want to grow online, but online marketing just seems overwhelming? If your answer is yes to any of these questions, then I want to personally invite you to join our private marketing community, successwithstories.com. Success with Stories is the premier community for purpose-driven businesses committed to growing online by marketing with stories. Inside of successwithstories.com, you will learn how to create online content that converts, how to build a connection with your audience that outlasts any crisis, and most importantly, you're going to learn how to grow your business in a way that feels authentic to you. Honestly, right now in 2020, things are a bit crazy and unpredictable for all businesses. And so we think it's really important to show you how you can build a crisis-proof online brand. So head to www.successwithstories.com to join Success with Stories. Don't wait another day. We'll see you inside of Success with Stories.